All right, hunker down, strap it in, shine it up. Let's do it. Another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, the very best things that happened on our Planet 93.9 morning show, presented for you here now in this forum. My name is Dave. Here's my partner, Darren. Hey, Darren.
Hello. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location through Leafly, and also medicinal items from the Milan location through Leafly. You'll find all of that at the website, ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Let me share with you now the story of Don Aden Arara. He lives in Puerto San Carlos, which is a town you will find in Mexico's Baja California, sir. Congratulations, Baja California, sir.
What is this, Mexico?
Yeah, no, that's exactly where it is. Don Aden Arana had a drawn-out battle with an incurable disease. So he was not able to enjoy a new pickup truck that his son had given to him as a gift. He knew that he was not going to be around for too much longer. And so he told his friends and family that his wishes were to be buried in that pickup truck. I couldn't drive it here on Earth, but maybe I'll be able to drive that truck in the afterlife.
I'd like to be buried in that truck with a full tank of gas.
Well, I don't know that... I don't know that that's the best idea.
No, probably isn't.
But if there's no gas in the truck, how are you going to drive it around the afterlife? Good luck finding a gas station in heaven. Now, in Mexico, when a loved one gives you a last wish, that's not something you blow off. They take that very seriously. And so...
But you can just bury trucks in Mexico?
Yeah. That's what they did. There's you can see it here. There's they built like essentially a walled-in tomb, and then they used a crane to lower the pickup truck into this brick-lined tomb, and then his coffin is placed on the bed of the pickup truck.
Makes sense.
I mean, the community delegate, Francisco Tovar, told the family, if you do this, there is going to be a hefty fine. You did not request authorization for this. This is a very unusual burial. I'm reading here in the newspaper El Universal.
God forbid his dying wish would be, why don't you enjoy the truck? How about the family utilizes the truck?
Right. You gave me a truck knowing full well I couldn't drive it. So guess what? They say you can't take it with you.
I am.
I will. Take that. There was a guy last year in South Africa who was laid to rest in his beloved Mercedes limousine instead of a regular casket. At least in this Mexican story, there is a casket put in the back of the truck. But yeah, then you just bury...
So you can just bury limousines, huh?
I guess. It just seems like a very... This notion of bury me with a bunch of stuff. You're not a pharaoh, man. Like, don't we kind of understand that's not how any of this works? But this is what he wanted. So this is what he gets. When this is your last wish,
is all that right. Environmentally friendly to no, be just...
No, certainly not.
I wouldn't think it would be.
No.
Be damned, I'm dead.
What do I care about the environment? I'm not going to use it anymore.
Environment?
It's none of my business. Let me ask you this, Darren. Would it be a good idea to have a glove box salami in a truck that you're buried in? You might get hungry in the afterlife.
Yeah, I think that's probably a waste of a good salami.
Why do you give someone a truck when you know they can't drive it? I wonder if this
Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe the son wasn't aware of it at the time.
Oh, I don't know. I think he knew. It was a drawn-out battle with an incurable disease. The son had gifted him the pickup truck not too long ago. So he was very sick when his son gave him the truck. And I almost wonder if this is dad saying, oh, give me the truck, are you? Okay. All right. You know damn well I can't drive the truck. So I don't know if are you trying to get points for giving me a truck? Okay. Thank you, son. Thank you. I will cherish the truck. You'll
now, when
see.
You say a new truck, was it just new to dad or brand new?
That I don't know. I mean, it looks newer. I'm looking at it here being hoisted in the air. It looks like a newer truck, but yeah, I don't know if this is a 2021 model. That much El Universal does not share with us here. I'll take the truck. Thank you, son. Very, very generous of you. I'm also going to need you all to build me a massive tomb.
King Tut, buried in his jammies.
And then, you know what I would do if I were this guy's son? I would follow it to the T. I would build the tomb. We would lower the truck in with a crane. Then we put dad in the back of the truck. But I'm keeping the keys. And every once in a while, I'll go and visit the gravesite and just hit the panic button just for fun.
Eternal torment.
Ouch.
You're not going anywhere.
Number two.
Thinking about getting rid of my beard maybe later on today.
Yeah.
And I know
you can grow it back over the weekend, so that's the deal.
There is that. Thinking about getting rid of it and then starting a new one. And I know you're not supposed to shave in November, but I'm not officially doing that. So I could do it, right?
Sure you can.
No Shave November and Movember. Those are charity events that are underway. They did a survey of 2,000 Americans about facial hair. And 48% of Americans think bearded men are better with money. Guys with beards spend more money on grooming products than non-bearded men. And it says that guys with beards spend more money on grooming products than women. If you have a beard, you spend more money on your grooming than a woman does. I mean, I suppose if you really want to take care of it, yeah,
you do. You spend more money on beard products than a woman?
Well, just grooming products in general, right? Nearly half of Americans think bearded men are better with money compared to those who are clean shaven. What would lead you to believe that?
I don't get that.
Because I'm not wasting money on disposable razors?
Yeah.
As for men who currently have facial hair, 75% of guys with beards claim they're better with money. Huh?
How would they know?
Yeah, that's. I think I'm a little bit better with my money, and I have a beard to show for it. 46% of men this year will forego shaving and or grow a mustache in honor of No Shave November and Movember. And 24% of women say they're also not shaving in November.
See, now you could shave today. Today's the 11th of November.
It is.
So that would mean there's going to be 20 days left.
Yes.
You could shave today and not shave and at the end of the month have bypassed most people.
Yeah.
Who've already started.
I have a really stupid superpower. It's true. It grows really fast. And the kick for me is my TV show, Brood, which we're filming season 7 right now. We were in the Twin Cities over the weekend filming up there. So I've got the beard for that episode. And then we're going to be in Chicago this weekend. And I think the Chicago thing is going to be in between another show. And I get a kick out of it when the show starts and I have a beard and then there'll be a middle segment and I don't.
Yeah, no, that's
and then
fun.
And then they end the show and I have a beard again.
Yeah, that's fun.
I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, do that.
I don't know why I think that's hilarious. And I'm probably the only one that even notices.
I wouldn't go to hilarious, but
I don't know. It just tickles me so.
It's fun. I'll give you that.
Men spend more money on grooming products than women do, and it's more expensive to have a beard than to be clean shaven. On average, it says here, men spend $42 a month on products like razors and shaving cream. No. Women spend $39. Men with facial hair spend more. The average guy with a beard spends $49 a month on grooming products?
False.
How does that make any sense?
The only thing I have is I've got some beard oil.
Yeah.
And you buy that and it's what, maybe $10?
Yeah.
And it lasts for how long?
Yeah, because you're not putting it in every
forever.
Day. Exactly.
So
I'll let you in a little secret. I'm still using all the beard stuff I won when I won the national championship 2 years ago.
How much did you get?
They gave me quite a lot.
I never got to see that.
I never showed you my haul of beard products that
no,
I got?
No.
Oh, it's something else.
Well, I would imagine for the grand champion.
Bunch of stuff from, Billy Gibbs? From, who's the ZZ Top guy?
Billy Gibbons.
Gibbons. Yeah, he's got his own line of products. I got quite a bunch of that stuff. And yeah, they gave me a big box of products.
Huh.
When I won the national title 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago this week, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think Tuesday was the 2 year anniversary of me winning the national championship for natural beards between 3 and 6 inches. Ungroomed. A male.
Untamed.
That's right.
Unhinged.
Free range, daddy.
Free range.
Men into self-care too. Male respondents indicated they spend money on massages. 12% of men spending money on massages.
Not after that last one.
Manicures and pedicures. 9% of men say they're getting manicures and pedicures. 9% say they're spending money on facials. And 7% of men say that they're spending money for waxing.
I've never had a manicure, but I'd have one. But the manicure I want to have is the one on the Andy Griffith Show.
What is that?
Where the young Barbara Eden comes to town.
Oh, wait, what?
And she's given,
Door-to-door manicures?
Well, no, she's set up at Floyd's. And at first, no one wants anything to do with it.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, Andy, of course, you know, goes in there and...
Because they don't trust a young Barbara Eden?
Well, they're just the idea of a manicure, I guess. And then all of a sudden, Andy has one, and he's singing the praises of the manicure because, you know, the young, pretty Barbara Eden gets to hold your hand while you're, you know, while she's doing your nails.
Who's saying no to that?
Well, then the whole town wants it. And then all the town women get upset. That's the manicure I want.
You want a manicure that upsets the local women.
Well.
That's the end game.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, but, they're going to be so mad.
Oh, they're going to be mad. They are going to be laying on their backs and kicking up their arms and legs.
Barbara Eden, of course, Jeannie from I Dream of Jeannie, but also known as the Fetching Ellen Brown. A manicurist who set the hearts of Mayberry's men a Twitter.
She's like in her young, she's in her early 20s.
Well, it's 1962.
Right.
And she's 84 now.
Yeah.
She made her first appearance recently at the Mayberry Days Festival, something they do in Mount Airy, North Carolina. She says, I loved Andy. The last time I saw him, I was touring in The Last of the Red Hot Lovers with Don Knotts.
Oh, brother.
And that would have been 1993. We had a long tour, Don and I, she says, and the cherry on top of the sundae was seeing Andy again after all those years. They were such good friends, he and Don. I'm really doing this because of them more than anything. Only appeared in one episode, The Manicurist.
Yeah.
She had left the big city searching for a friendly town to move to, uh-huh. Ended up in Mayberry,
yep.
Where she got a job at Floyd's Barbershop.
Uh-huh. And she sets up a little manicuring station over there in the corner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and those town folk women, they get so mad.
Her presence leaves many of the men folk in Mayberry spellbound.
Yeah.
Barney yelling out, quote, ring-a-ding-ding. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because once Andy gets his, then, of course, Barney's next. And he, of course, is like, be careful, that's my trigger finger.
Oh, that's great. I need to go find this episode.
Yeah.
She gets off the bus and all the men are just going out of their mind
for her. They're looking at her legs.
Wow. Oh, she's got like some, wow.
Yeah, she's got
I have not seen this episode. I will have to look it up.
Good one.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Oh, here she is getting off the bus. Yeah.
Hey, will you look what's getting off that bus?
Oh,
don't you guys have jobs?
Ring-a-ding-ding.
This is what I call a female.
Me too.
Yes, sir. That's a female, all right. Right, Andy?
Yeah. That's definitely not a boy.
Oh, wow. This is.
What's that do to you, Floyd?
Floyd's breathing heavier than normal. Oh, yes, that's not a boy.
To my nitrous tank.
The candy-colored clown they call the Sandman.
Exactly.
Number three.
Sex on the beach, a cocktail, and something that people have.
We're going to have to close the beach.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. A study conducted about the Canary Island in Spain says that all the sex on the beach there is ruining the beach.
You're turning this into a sandbox.
A new study published in the Journal of Environmental Management, and yes, we do subscribe to that one. It's called Sand, Sun, Sea, and Sex with Strangers. People are having so much sex on Spain's Canary Island that it's causing a problem in the ecosystem.
How enjoyable can that be on sand?
Pounding sand?
Literally.
Yeah, it's. I don't think it's a good idea for a lot of reasons. But people gotta have it. Study identifies 298 sex spots in a nature reserve where they have sand dunes. And these people get so turned on by these sand dunes that they've got to have it. And it's ruining the sand dunes. That's not great.
Just for the sexual thrill! The sexual thrill!
The direct impacts generated around the sex spots can be observed in several ways, such as the impacts on vegetation, the abandonment of waste, or the presence of urinal and defecation location.
What are you people up to?
Thanks for the sand sex. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta go take a dump on a dune. It's part of my process. They say the most representative in proportional order are cigarette butts, torn and cut vegetation, toilet paper and wipes, condoms, fruit peels, cans, and then feces. I'm going to sex you up, and then I'm going to eat this banana on the beach. I don't get it.
I'm going to have sex with this honeydew melon right now. It's on my honeydew list.
You know, every once in a while we play those commercials where the young lady's explaining that she gets like 17 UTIs a year.
She can't shake them.
Right. It seems like that would be a great way to get a UTI, is sex on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wrong. So please, stay off the Canary Island dunes. They're saying, by the way, the authors want to be very clear, quote, we're not calling for an end to public sex, but we do want people to be aware of the damage it can do. Nobody's saying you shouldn't get your freak on outside of the bedroom. Want to be very clear about that, but just find a place that's not, you know, the beach.
But all the miscellaneous trash that you're...
I just don't know how... It just seems like
all that is needed.
Yeah. It's one of those places
where... Do your thing and move on.
You might think it's fun to have sex on the beach, and then, like, 3 seconds into it, you realize this was a horrific mistake. It's like the shower, right? You think the shower could be a fun place for it, and then when the rubber meets the road, it's not a good idea. I tell you, I had to go out the other day and get some sheets for a bed in the house.
Yeah.
And as I was walking around looking for... I was told to go get sheets for a double bed.
What kind of thread count we taking a look at here?
Well, it's not a bed that I sleep on, so I wasn't looking for, you know, anything.
Burlap sack.
Yeah. So I'm going to get the sheets, and I was sent to the store, go get sheets. My wife tells me, go get double sheets, right? I'm like, okay, I can do that. And I come home. I don't see any double sheets. It's not on the store shelves. You got your king, your queen, your full, and your twin. And I assume, since I was tasked to go get a double, that twin and double are synonymous.
Twin and double?
Yeah. I realize now that that's not at all the case. That a twin bed is not a double bed. But twin and double, in my head, I thought, well, twin means two, and double means two. So I come home with the twin sheets, and the disappointment on my wife's face that I couldn't figure that out was something else. It was something else.
She took a look at it and said, this is bullshit.
Yeah, she says, I told you to get, double. I said, well, this is twin. What's the difference? She's like, what's the difference?
Oh,
we can't use these. So then I go back, I exchange it, and I realize they don't have double on. That's not a choice. So I got some help there at the store, and they explained to me that full and double are the same thing. And I'm taking
it's
it now.
It's not called double anymore.
I'm taking it from the attitude I'm getting from you, which is an exact mirror of what I got from my wife, that this is something everybody but me knows. They were very helpful with me, but apparently I'm the only person in the world that doesn't know the double bed is a full bed. The only person I've ever heard, other than my wife, use the phrase double bed, by the way, Barbara Mandrell.
Mm.
Sleeping single in a double bed. She also had a hit called You Can Eat Crackers in My Bed Anytime. Barbara Mandrell loved to sing about beds. Anyway, while I'm there looking at the sheets on the end cap at the store that I was at, they had suction cup beer and seltzer holders.
For your sheets?
For your shower.
Mm.
So people that are drinking seltzer in the shower, it's a cup holder so you can put your seltzer in the shower while you're in there showering. Beer in the shower is another one of those things that it seems like a good idea. And it's fun to do once or twice.
Well, but having said that, if you're going to take a beer to the shower, have your last sip outside the shower. Go in the shower.
Uh-huh.
That beer is going to be, you'll be right back to it.
That's what I don't understand.
You're going to be right back to it anyway.
Right. Well, there is something kind of like fun about a hot shower and then a cold beer. That can be fun. But you do it once. If you're to the point where you're adding accoutrement to your shower,
that you can't, if you can't take a shower without a beer.
Right. That's the thing. That if you need a seltzer, a hard seltzer, or a beer in order to take a shower, you need to not drink anymore. Like, that's you need to surrender to a higher power and accept the things that you can't change. You need to go to meetings. I'm not saying an occasional beer shower in the shower isn't fun. It's not something you should do after you reach a certain age. Like, I don't think I've had a beer in the shower since I was maybe 25. I think it's the last time I pulled it off. To do it now, to sit there and drink a beer in the shower now, that's not a great look.
I can't use the bathroom for any reason without a beer.
Now it's just getting sad.
So what's this suction cup in here in your shower? Oh, yeah, no, that's where I put my hard seltzer when I'm in there. I'm in there a long time, and I can't leave until I finished my White Claw.
What's with the plate in the shower?
Well, I also eat pasta in there.
I also, there's a pasta bowl.
Never-ending pasta in the shower.
Why is there a colander in the shower? Well,
I like to rinse off my lettuce in there. Yeah, I really get it all taken care of in one.
It's essentially a small apartment here in the shower. this is where my turntable is.
Yeah, what's with the pillow?
Uh-huh.
What is that for? Sometimes I get tired in the shower.
I
take a little nap.
Number four.
Woman earning a Guinness World Record for running 95 marathons in 95 days. Decided to run the distance of a marathon every single day, earned a Guinness World Record by running 95 marathon distances in 95 days.
Remember the guy, I think it was in England, who ran a marathon, had never run a marathon,
yeah,
and ran a marathon on top of the building he lived in?
Right. This is kind of similar in that she was doing this during lockdown. And that guy that was doing it, running around on the building, that was also as a result of lockdown.
Or his balcony or whatever it was.
Right. Just running back and forth the distance of a marathon. Alyssa Clark was living in Italy in March of last year. Now, she's from Vermont, Burlington, Vermont. But the government issued a stay-at-home order, and she discovered that all of the summer marathons that she'd been training for were getting canceled. So she decided to run a marathon distance every day during the lockdown. She thought this was going to last like 2 weeks. She thought lockdown was going to be, you know, maybe 15 days. But she kept going, even finding time to run while moving to Florida. She used a treadmill some days and ran outside when she could and ended up running the distance of a marathon 95 times in 95 days.
And she does what for a living?
Yeah, that's a great question.
You just have that sort of spare time, huh?
She started the 96th marathon and decided to stop partway through because she was starting to get sick.
I'm cramping.
She says here, I always thought that if I felt I was going to be putting myself in a position of being a burden on the medical system, I should stop immediately. So as soon as things started going downhill, I pulled away from it. She would later learn that the sickness that she was experiencing as when she was doing the marathon.
Pregnancy.
Symptoms of COVID-19.
Oh.
She just got word from the Guinness Book of World Records that she is now the record holder for most consecutive days to run a marathon distance.
Well, if you run 96 marathons in a row.
Yeah.
Boy, you can eat anything you want.
I would think that you would also never want to run a marathon again.
Or maybe never want to eat. Ugh.
Initially, I was thinking, okay, did she set out to run 95 in a row? Because
No, she didn't know that number. She said that. She thought that the lockdown was going to be 2 weeks long.
So we know that the number is 95. That's the record. If you want to beat it, you got to run 96. She says, I was and am definitely proud to have the record, but I hope someone will go out and break it one day soon. That would be a drag. The not knowing, this is my point, the not knowing when it was going to end is probably better than having a number in your head. Because every day you're running, you're thinking, this lockdown can't be going on too much longer. As opposed to, you've run 13 marathons in a row, and you know you still have 80-some marathons to run. Right? Imagine your body is broken after running your 40th marathon.
Well, the thing is,
and you realize, I'm not even halfway there.
Quit anytime you want, though.
Well, and she did. But she quit because she had COVID. Can't imagine a respiratory disease like that.
You've been running with.
It's great. Well, yeah. It's not easy to run a marathon without a respiratory disease.
Like it helps.
COVID-19. Yeah, right? But she's in the Guinness Book of World Records. For now, she would very much like for someone else to take the record. I mean,
I'll have to get back you on that.
It's not going to be either of us.
Five.
Number five.
I had a Florida man story.
Florida.
Florida inmate charged with assaulting his roommate, telling cops that the victim farts too much and stinks up the cell, and also fails to give a courtesy flush after using their shared toilet. You're stinking up the cell. Well, where do you want me to go, man? You understand how this works. You're in here with me. Although...
incarcerated.
Do you maybe like...
what are they serving him?
I can't imagine prison food doesn't have a kick to it. Investigators allege that Christopher Callen pummeled Amando Dominguez Cuvedo during a confrontation inside their jail at the Monroe County Detention Center, which is down in Key West. I'll say this. If you got to be in
Key
prison.
Key West jail?
Key West prison would be a good prison to go to, I think.
Oh, more key lime pie.
Yeah, the prison guards are all Hemingway cats. It's a vibe. He's been jailed since his arrest. Kalen, the guy who did the assault here, allegedly, has been jailed since his arrest in late September for failing to register as a sex offender with Florida officials. Domingo Quevedo, locked up on a $40,000 bond, he's been in custody since his February arrest for aggravated battery and indecent exposure. So the two of them really are a couple of bosom buddies. During an interview at a hospital emergency room, the victim, Dominguez Quevedo, said he was cleaning the toilet when Callen grabbed him by the shirt and began punching him in the face and ribs. Dominguez Quevedo, cops noted, stated that he had no idea why he was being attacked out of the blue and that it seemed pretty random to him.
So you're saying that this guy came up with this fart excuse post-pummeling.
Well, how can you have a problem with a cellmate who doesn't do a courtesy flush if he's also the kind of guy that will clean the toilet for you?
Yeah, but by cleaning the toilet, he was waking up the funk.
The funk of 40,000 years?
Uh-huh.
Kalen was questioned by the cops. His knuckles and hands were red, and he appeared to provide a motive for assault, complaining about his cellmate's flatulence and toilet habits. He also complained that his roommate, Dominguez Quevedo, quote, speaks weird languages. Charged with aggravated battery by an inmate, that's a felony, for which he's scheduled to be arraigned next Friday.
Well, I know someone who needs to go to couples therapy.
Well, that's going to be tricky because a judge has now ordered these two cellmates to have no contact with each other.
But isn't that what you wanted?
Well, I mean, I guess. Do you throw them in the cell and say, you guys cannot talk to each other?
Work on it.
We only have so many cells here. We need you to not communicate. And in that non-communication, perhaps you'll reach an understanding. Bagism. That's what we're doing here. Total communication.
We've got a little video clip from the late, great Ross Perot for you guys to watch. Work on it.
How? I think if I were in prison, I think I'd be a good cellmate.
You would take the pummeling?
No, I wouldn't put up with any of that. But just in terms of, like, you know, toilet habits and I don't know. I feel like if I were in jail or I was in prison, I feel like I'd be the kind of
I think I'd probably get shanked pretty early on.
Yo, you absolutely would.
Happy New Year to you in jail.
Roll your eyes one more time.
They say you're supposed to go up to the biggest, baddest guy and start a fight with him.
Sure.
My plan is I'll go up to the biggest, baddest guy.
And avoid him.
And I'll make him laugh. Mm. And then?
And then you get shanked.
Then I'll give him something to think about. That's my plan.
That's when he shanked me.
Hey.
Right after the punchline. What happened after the punchline? He punched me.
So, Tank, I understand you're in here for killing your family. Let me tell you some stories that Darren and I did on our show back when I was on the outside.
Tanks for nothing.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Great thanks for downloading this show and subscribing and leaving reviews and listening to it. Hope you enjoyed it. We had a good time. And at the end of the day, isn't that really all that matters?
It's true.
Thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for sponsoring the Top 5 Things.
They have two locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. They're both now open 7 days a week. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hasta la vista, suckers.